Begin the Gemara daven Masechtas Krisa Daf Yud Alpha. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud. With the Gemara begins the explanation of the halacha of our previous Mishnah. The Mishnah differentiated between a shivcha charufa and between all the arayas. One of the differences was, by all arayas, both the man and the woman get the same punishment. But by shivcha charufa, they're different. The man brings the karban asham, and there the woman, the shivcha charufa, she gets lashes. Says the Gemara, Manolan, the he loki, v'hu lo loki. Says the Gemara, where do we know this halacha from? That she gets lashes when he has a forbidden relationship with the shivcha charufa, who is designated for a man, and that he doesn't get lashes. Says the Gemara, because they're talking about Melinda Bryson. Pasuk says of a yikra, that if a man is going to lay with a woman, a laying of copulation of a seed, and she's a maidservant that's designated for a man, and she's not fully redeemed, and she wasn't freed. So the Pasuk says, b'kairis tia, that there will be bikiris, which generally means to say an investigation. It says the brisa malamet she like it. That comes to teach us that she gets lashes, and because it says bikiris, which means lashes, we're going to explain tia. Now yochash name like him. You think both of them get lashes? No, tamalamet tia. It says tia, which is the feminine. He like it, v'hu ena like it. She gets lashes, and he doesn't get lashes. Explains the Gemara, minayin dehadin bikiris lishon demalkah. So how do we know that bikiris means the terminology of lashes, and that tia, she will get the lashes? So, two interpretations. Amar Yitzchak, he says, Tehei, and the Girsa is, Bikriya, which is that there will be the halacha here of reciting on her, the Pasuk, as the Gemara says, Makas of Chavbeiz and Mabeiz, during the time of lashes, they recite the Pasuk, V'hif Lashem Es Makayischa, which is regarding the time like Luna Braisa, that Gadol HaDayon Makri. There's a few people involved in when a person gets lashes. The greatest of the judges, he recites the Pesukim. Sheini Maina, the second one, he counts with this 39 lashes. And Shlishi Yom Harkein, the third one says, hit. And that's how they do the procedure. So the word Bikairis is in the term of Kriya, which is the recital of the Pesukim during lashes. Rav Ashem, he says, Bibikritia. She will be in the investigation, the assessment, mean to see if she cannot withstand all 39 lashes. Then we evaluate her and we look into that, how much could she handle? It's not like Lund Mishnah Masechtas Makos that says, "Ein oim din oisai." We do not evaluate a person, elamakas haruyin lishtalish, only proportionately regarding to be in thirds. For example, 18, 21, 24, because we have to be able to do it in thirds, because the halacha is that two-thirds of it is done from the back, and one is done in the front, as the Gemara learns on Masechtas Makos, Gimel Manalov. So we see that there's a beaker that's done to see how much could the person handle, which is in thirds. That's the reference of the Pasuk Bikairis referring to the woman getting lashes. So Talmud learned the Braisa that Bizman She Isha Laika, although they get two different punishments, says the Braisa, when the woman, when the Shivcha Rufa, when she gets lashes, where let's say if she's an adult and only then does she get punishments, then her Ish may be carbon, only then will the man, for his part of the sin, will he bring a carbon. But Ein Isha Laika, if the woman doesn't get lashes, Ein Isha may be carbon, then the man's not going to bring a carbon. Says Gemara Manolo, where do we know this from? Because Amar Rav, he says, the Chassid says in the Pasuk, as we quoted before, the ish, ki ishka ves isha shichva zer, if a man's going to lay with a woman, a copulation of a seed, a laying that can produce a child, fi shivcha nechrefes leish, and she's a maidservant that's designated already for a man, she's not just a maidservant, she's designated, she's engaged to a man, v'haftalei neftasa, now redeemed, she wasn't redeemed, oi chuf shalei nitinla, or her redemption wasn't given to her. Now, Mechti, let's see. Ad hacha b'ish komeshtoyikra. Up until this point in the pasuk, we're talking about the man. We're talking about a man that's going to lay with a woman. Now, so nichtiv. So if we're talking about this prohibition that was violated, so nichtiv v'heviyas Hashem el Hashem. First, the pasuk should have said regarding the man who we're discussing that because of his part of the sin, he has to bring a karban asham to Hashem. Well, b'sayif lichtiv b'karis tiyan, and only subsequently should it say regarding her punishment, regarding the b'karis of getting lashes. Amai kaster v'achman the bereish b'karis tiyan. Why does it first mention in this pasuk her punishment, and then subsequently the Pasuk mentions regarding his punishment of being a carbon asham. Says the Gemara Hachikam, and this is what the Pasuk saying. In Bikairis Tia, he, if she is applicable to getting lashes, then he brings his carbon asham. If she doesn't get lashes, he doesn't bring his carbon asham. Now the Gemara goes back to ask in the halacha of our Mishnah that we said that the woman and the man in Shivcha Charufa are different. He doesn't get her lashes, and she doesn't bring his carbon asham. Says Gemara, why? Ema hu matekra. Maybe like we just brought before, he's excluded from the punishment of Malkus because it says tia, which is the feminine and not the masculine. Aval he tilki v'tesa carbon, but maybe she should get lashes, like it says b'kuris tia, and she should also have to bring a carbon. Says Gemara, no. V'hevi es hashem el hashem k'sib. It says in the masculine, he will bring his asham, which excludes her from bringing the carbon asham. Additional halacha, remember Yitzchak, he says, lo'ilam ein chayiv, ela shifcha be'ula bavad. The man is only liable if he had relations with a shifcha harufa that already had cohabited. That's a be'ula. How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, v'hi shifcha necherefes le'ish. Now, umay mashmalai necherefes, and where do we know from the word necherefes, lishna d'shanu yuhu, that we're talking about that the woman had changed, that she changed from how she was born, which is because she already had bia. Because the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, it says v'tishtateach olav harifes, that she spread out on it the crushed grain. Harifes is the word term necherefes, which is something that changed by being crushed. Here also, through the male member, also use the terminology of Aver Dush regarding threshing, meaning that she changed through this act. That's the term necherefes. Therefore, we see that its liability is only if she's a ba'ula. Or v'ibayisim, if you want, you can bring a source of pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Imtichtei she'evel b'mechtesh." If you're going to crush the fool in the mortar, b'tei harifes, with the in the crushed grain, be'eli, with a pestle, you see that it used terminology of harifes, which is necherefes, with a machtesh, with grinding, which is a changing from what it was as it was created. Now, related to this halacha of the shifcha necherefes, the shifcha harufa regarding the karban asham, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Sefer Ezra. Says v'yitnu yadum lahitzi neshem, that they gave their hand to remove their wives. V'ashemim el tzayin al hashmasim, to bring a carbon ashem, which is the ram from the sheep for their ashem, for their liability, for their carbon ashem. Where Amar Rav Chisda says malamet shakol and shifches charufes balu, who brings a carbon ashem for forbidden relations? It's only by the shifcha charufa. Must be that in that time by Ezra that the men had shifcha charufes that they cohabited with, which that's the liability of the Asham. Now the Mishnah said that Ezohi Shifcha B'chulu, the end of the Mishnah had a machlekes regarding qualifying what is the Shifcha Charufa that we're talking about regarding this liability of her getting lashes and him getting the carbon Asham, and if you do it b'mezid, it's like Shagig, which you bring a carbon. So turn around, one of the brides that elaborates on this machlekes we mentioned in the Mishnah. The Pasuk says Vehefta, that she's redeemed. So Yachal Kulu, you would think that she's totally redeemed. That's the case we're talking about here in the Shifcha Charufa. Tamalay maloy niftas. It says in the pasuk that she's not redeemed. Now, as the Gisa Shita Megubetza says, now ilay niftasa yachakula. So based on those words, if it's saying that she's not redeemed, you would think it's talking about where she's totally not redeemed. Taking out the next three words, tamalay mevahefta. That's it says she's redeemed. So haketzad, how to resolve this? She's redeemed. She's not redeemed. So that the Gemara says, the first opinion says in the Brisim that vehefta loy niftasa sounds like peduya ve'ini peduya. She's redeemed but not redeemed, meaning she's a half maid servant, but she's half freed. Half hour was already freed, and that's the case we're talking about. Umores is levit ivri. And this that we say that she's designated for a man, it says that she's engaged to the Jewish slave. A Jewish slave generally is forbidden with these type of relations, but as a slave, he's permitted to have relations and be engaged to this chetz yeshivcha chetz baschiren, where he's even permitted in the full-fledged maid servant. And a man has relations with that woman who's engaged to that Eved Ivri, that's the halacha that the pasuk told me. That's the Rebbe Akiva. Shmuel, he says, now b'shifcha kanan sakas medaba. Like he says in the Mishnah, we're talking about a full-fledged non-Jewish maidservant of the Jewish family. And she's engaged to the Jewish slave. So if we're talking about a full-fledged non-Jewish maidservant, so what did the pasuk teach when it says, redeemed, she's not redeemed? That says Rebbe Shmuel, dibertar kolesh min yadam. The Torah talks the way people talk. Redeemed, she's not redeemed. It doesn't mean she's half redeemed, half not. It means she's not redeemed. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, "Kol arayis mefurash aslanu." All the arayis in the Torah, the forbidden relations, are explicit to us that they're talking about by their free women. So mishur lanu chetz shivch bechetz beschiren. So what are we left with? We're left with that we're talking about a special halacha. Must be that it's somewhat different. That it's not that she's full one way. She's half shivcha and half beschiren. Umares is levered every, and she's engaged to an levered every. And as we said in the Mishnah, Gemara will explain what's different between him and Rabbi Kiva. Seems to be saying the same opinion. Achayim, the others say, says in the pasuk layumsu kilei chufasha. He's not going to die because she's not free. It's not a regular married woman to a Jewish man, which then he would get death penalty. No, here we're talking about even if he does it deliberately, he's not going to die for this forbidden relations because she's not a free woman. So say the Acherim, B'shifcha Kanan Sakas Medabit, saying that she's not free means to say she's a non-Jewish maidservant. Umores is Levit Kanani. But however, on this point, he differs from Rabbi Shmuel, although he agrees it's B'shifcha Kananis, says that she's engaged to a non-Jewish slave, not like he said, to the Jewish slave. Something more explains different opinions. The Gemara asks first Rabbi Shmuel, who says that we're talking about a full-fledged Shifcha. Bishlem v'heftulay niftasa ketiktani. When it's not difficult for us to say, hey, how could you say it's full-fledged shifcha? It says redeemed and not redeemed. Like the other opinions who said, yeah, because she's chetzi shifcha chasa beskaren. No, that's like we said, dibur teri kolashim ni'adim, the Torah talks the way people usually talk. But it means that she's not redeemed. But ella diktani muresa le'ebed every, but regarding the second half of his halacha, that he said that she's engaged to the ebed every, to the Jewish slave, menolam, where do we know that from? As Rashi explains, we understand according to Bikiva, that he owes, that he says the case is talking about that she's half free, so we wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that what that it's talking about as we're asking on Rabbi Shmuel, how do we know that she's engaged to the Eved Ivri? Because most definitely we could say from the fact that we're telling if a different Jewish man has relations with this woman, there's going to be liable, obviously because she's engaged, and therefore it's considered a valid relationship to a Jewish man, because Kedushin is typhus. Because she's half a free woman. So therefore you could say that she's engaged to the Jewish slave because her master gave her forcibly to the Jewish slave, as the Gemara says in Kedushin of Yudalma Beis, that he could be forced to marry this shifcha that he has. But we wouldn't say it's Torah that she's engaged to an Eved Kenani, because since she's half free, she's half Jewish, she would be forbidden to the Eved Kenani. So according to Rabbi Akiva, obviously we're talking about Chetzi Baschairin, we know that it's Torah that she's engaged to the Eved Ivri. But the Gemara's question is going to be Shmuel, who he says, we're talking about a full-fledged Shifcha, and he's saying that she's engaged to Eved Ivri. Where does he know that from? Maybe it's talking about that she's engaged to Eved Kenani, and to the contrary. She's actually more permitted to Eved Kenani than the Eved Ivri. Because Eved Ivri is a unique situation where depending if he has a wife, then but regularly a Jewish man is forbidden for a non-Jewish woman. So therefore, how does he know that she's engaged to an Eved Ivri? Says the Gemara, because the Chassid says in the Pasuk, Ki leichu fasha, because she's not free. Machlal duhu chayfish. The inference is that the man that she's engaged to is free, which is the Eved Ivri, and that's how he knows that. Now the Gemara asks, as we had alluded to this question earlier, Belazav and Zai, Hain Rabbi Kiva, saying the same thing? Says the Gemara, yes, he is. But it's just that we first quoted Rabbi Kiva, then Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's Rabbi Shmuel Kamar. He's responding to Rabbi Shmuel. He's saying, Lidi di ba'alma kavaseich svirle. He says, I understand where you're coming from. He says, I usually hold like you too. The Dibur Teri Kolashim Ni'adim, that the Torah talks in the vernacular of people. So, although you're disagreeing with Rabbi Kiva, and you're saying that it's a Shifcha Gemura, because although it says V'heftalei Neftasa, it doesn't mean that she's half and half. So it says, I usually agree with you too. But that's what he's saying afterwards. But B'hoch HaShani, here it's different. Because Mechti Letzik, Sivlei Kura Kilechu Farsha. The Pasuk said she's not freed. So V'heftalei Neftasa Lomali. So why does it say freed, she's not freed? Shema Minol HaChiyas, it says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, obviously here, what the Pasuk is coming to tell you is Lechet Yeshevech Chetzi Baschairin, it's coming to tell you that it's not just Dibur Teri Kolashim Ni'adim. It's coming to tell you she's half free and half not free. And therefore that he's just responding to Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara asks L'Acherim, according to the others, that said they were talking about a Shifcha Kenanis, like Rabbi Shmuel. So Bishlam V'Heftaloi Neftasa, so although the Pasuk says redeemed, she's not redeemed. So that we explain Kesavra Torah, Dibur Teri Kolashim Ni'adim. He holds that the Torah spoke the way people usually speak, but it means that she's not redeemed. Elohad David Kenanim Lomar, here, how does he know definitively that the man she's engaged to is the non-Jewish slave, and let's say not a Jewish slave? So I'm a crow, because the Pasuk says, Kilechu Fasha, because she's not free. Now the way the Acherim understand it is, Im'in in Ledidav, it's not telling us anything regarding her, because the Pasuk already tells us V'heftalei Neftasa, and it's not teaching you half and half, because it doesn't hold to that. So it's already telling us that, just that she's not redeemed, so what would be the utility of saying Kilechu Fasha? So it's not telling us anything regarding her. Tanei in Ledidei is telling us to who she's engaged to say that he's also not a free person because he's Eved Kenani, and therefore he explains that Shifcha Kenani is to Eved Kenani, and then a Jewish man has relations with her. That's the Shifcha Charufa that we're talking about in our Pasuk. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the halachas of arayis, of forbidden relations. Says the Mishnah, kol arayis, all forbidden relations, echad gadol ve'echad katan, whether the man or the woman is an adult or a minor, if one of them is an adult and one is a minor, so katan pater. So then the minor is going to be exempt, meaning one is going to be liable and one is going to be exempt. The adult is chayv and the katan is pater. Whereas, by shifcha, as we said in the previous Mishnah, is different than arayis, the halach is not like that. The Gemara is going to explain. Echad erev echad yashin. Let's say by arayis, generally if one is awake and one is sleeping, so yashin pater, the one who's sleeping, is exempt. Echad shogeg v'echad meizah, one did it by mistake, and one did it deliberately. Shogeg b'chatas, and meizah b'karas. The one who does it by mistake will be chayv b'karas. The one who's doing it deliberately, knows that he's sinning, will be chayv karas. Now, whereas, by shifcha, as we're making the contrast from the previous Mishnah, is different than these halachas. Because, in this situation, when he does it deliberately, and she's by mistake, they're both going to be pater. Unlike here, where we said that, by regular rice, one's shogeg, one's meizah, one will be chayv Chatzis won't be chayv karas. In that situation, by the Shivcha Charufa, they're actually going to both be exempt, because we said her punishment is lashes. If she is, by mistake, in Shoigi, inadvertently, she's not going to get lashes. Which, as the Pasuk said, Bikaris Tia, only when she gets lashes, when you do it deliberately, then Mehevias HaShamay. But if not, they're both going to be exempt. However, Rashi does point out, but you would not have a differentiation between Arayas and Shifcha if he's Shoigig and she's Mezida. Because then, since she's deliberate, she would get lashes. And he, even though he does it by mistake, as we said in the previous daf, that by Baal Shifcha, there's no difference between Shoigig and Mezid, and he would be Chayav and Ashim. But the case that we're differentiating here in the Mishnah would be when she's Shoigig and he's Mezid. But the Gemara asks, so obviously our mission is a continuation of the previous mission, the friendship between Arayas and Shifcha. So the Gemara asks, what Vahacha Chayiv Katan, but here by Shifcha Charufa, that then a minor would be liable by Shifcha Charufa? Where do we find that a minor is liable for forbidden relations in the case of Shifcha Charufa? So remember, Yehudi says, Nohachikata, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Kal Arayas, by all forbidden relations, Echa Gadol Becha Katan, when you have one adult, one minor, Katan Pater. But that wasn't the point that we're pointing out. But Shifcha Charufa, also a minor, will be exempt. It's just that, yeah, the minor is exempt, but the inference is v'gadol chayav, but the adult would be liable. V'hacha gadol nami patur. In this situation, the adult will also be exempt if the other one is a minor. Maitem, what's the reason? Like we said before, because we equate the man to the woman. If she's not getting lashes because she's a minor, then the man who's an adult is not going to be in good karban asha. Similarly, the Mishnah continues and says, "Kala rise, all forbidden relations, echad neir v'echad yashin. If one is awake, one is sleeping, so yashin part, the one who's sleeping is exempt, because it was beyond their control. They weren't an active partner. So says the Gemara, what v'kan yashin namichayv? But here, by the Shivcha Charufa, if there's someone that's sleeping, they'll be liable. That's annoying. How could you be chayv? So here too, Amar Bidu Meravi says, "No, this is what the Mishnah was saying." Kala rise, but all forbidden relations, echad neir v'echad yashin. If one is awake, one is sleeping, so yashin pater, but v'neir chayv. The one who's awake, who's having these forbidden relations, would be liable. V'kan afil neir pater, but here you could have, even if the one who's awake is going to be exempt. Maitam, what's the reason? Like we said, the makshin adadi, because we equate them. If she's going to be exempt because she's sleeping, he's going to be exempt too, even if he's awake. Now, Tani Tani Kamed Rav Sheshes. There's a teacher of Brises who taught the following Brises under Rav Sheshes. Asu goymer kama'ara. They made the complete act of cohabitation, like just the initial stages of cohabitation. Miskavin k'shem miskavin, they made when it was intended to cohabit, like when they didn't intend to cohabit. Kadarka k'shele kadarka, the natural way of cohabitation, like the unnatural way. And neir k'yashin, awake, like sleeping. So Amalei, so Rav Sheshes said to the teacher of the Brises, my comment, what do you say? Ibashivcha charufa katani, if this Brises is talking about relations with a shivcha charufa, amai asu goyim k'ma'ara, why did they make the complete act of cohabitation like the beginning stages? It's not the same thing. By a shivcha charufa, the liability is only when you have a complete act of cohabitation. Ma'or le'mechayev, if it's just the beginning stages, it's not liable, because the pasuk shichva zera has to be able to conceive a seed, which is not possible with just the beginning stages of cohabitation. V'su, moreover, the Braisa says, miskaven k'she'en miskaven. Intended is like when you didn't intend. That's, he says, what do you mean? It's only when it's intended that there's liability by Shifcha Charufa. But if not, then there's no liability, because like we said, you need to have Shifcha Zera, and when there's not intending to cohabit, like for example, if he falls off from the roof and he connects with the woman, that's not fit to go ahead and create seed, so that wouldn't be a liability. Moreover, it says, Ukadarka Kishle Kadarka Nami. It says that the natural way is like the unnatural way. Kedarka b'shivcha charufa mechayev, b'shivcha charufa, only in the natural vaginal way is there liability. B'shalei kedarka lemechayev, but you cannot conceive a seed in the unnatural way, would not be liable. And my time, why not? Like we said, because shivcha zerik, if the pasuk says by the shivcha charufa, has to be a laying that could conceive a seed, which you don't have by shalei kedarka. And moreover, the Gemara asks, my near kedushin, what would it mean that when you're awake is like when you're sleeping? So it's not feasible to explain the brisa, it seems, by shivcha charufa. So he says, and even if you're going to say it's by other arayas, where there we did make an equivalency between different types of copulation, but asu gemer kamar, but how do you read the words of the brisa? But they made a complete act of cohabitation like the beginning stages, as the Gemara continues on the base, ipchi boyle lemisti. To the contrary, should have said the opposite. Should have said, hara, the beginning stages, is like gemar, is like the full act. And also regarding the other cases, it should have said shaloi kedarka is liable like kedarka, which that is the case by Sha'arayis, because it says mishke ve'isha, as the pasuk in Vayikra Yotzei, it compares the different types of cohabitation, the natural and the unnatural. So well, what's this that we're saying this in the opposite ways? What is this applying to? So Amalei, so the one who was teaching the Brises, said, Isamiya, should I delete this from my text of Brises? So Amalei like, said to him, no. But Hachana, this is the way you should interpret the Brises. Keep the words as is, and you have to interpret as follows. Asu Gaimer, yeah, we're talking about that you made Gemar Bia like Hara. What does that mean? Asu Gaimer, Shaloi Kedarka, yeah, we're talking about Shivcha Harufa. In comparison to Sha'arayas, in regards to its exemptions, meaning, Asu Gaimer, Shaloi Kedarka, they made a full act of cohabitation in the unnatural way, B'Shivcha Harufa, by the Shivcha Harufa, the Loi Mechaiva, that there's not going to be a liability over there, Kima'ara Kedarka, like, when by the Shivcha Harufa, like Hara in the natural way, with her, which he's exempt over there, because the Shivcha Zereksiv, that's the same thing we're saying. The Gemar Bi could also be exempt. Why? Because Shleika Darka. So it's not able to conceive seed that way. So too, the next case. Miskavin, when we're saying Miskavin is Kishalei Miskavin, what does that mean? Miskavin, Shaloi Kedarka, here also. Even if he's intending to have an act of cohabitation, but he's doing it in the unnatural way, b'shifcha, the paturin, that there he's going to be exempt, ke'ena miskavin, like not intending, which, that we said, that can't conceive a seed, because the shifcha zerik, where it says, has to be able to conceive a seed. And so too, neir, even if he's awake, but he's doing it, shaloi kedarka, the unnatural way with her, b'shifcha, by maidsev, and the paturin is going to be exempt, is going to be ke'yashin, like when he's sleeping. My time, what's the reason? The Shekhva Zerik said when he's sleeping, he can't go ahead and conceive a seed. So too, even when he's awake, but if it's Shaloi Kedarka, will be like the case of Yash. Says the Gemara Nimtzeh, comes out, Miskaven Vama'or B'Shivcha, if he's intending to have Hara, which are the initial stages of Bia with Har, he's going to be exempt, because Hara by Shivcha is Pater, Kishain Miskaven B'chal Arayis, like all Arayis. If he's not intending, then if he didn't intend to, which is beyond his control, so then he's going to be exempt. That's what we're saying, that the same thing is, well, even when he is intending by the Shifcha, but if it's Hara, which, as Rashi brings Hara, as the Machleik is, what does that mean? This initial stage, as some say, it just means to say the touching of the genital area, or it means even the insertion of the corona of the male member. But be that as it may, that's not possible to conceive a seed. That would not be liable by the Shifcha Harufa, where if he's doing it even with Miskavim, but it's Hara, just like if there's no intention whatsoever, by all arayas, that he'd be exempt over there. Additionally, Yashin Kedarka, if he's sleeping, even if he's doing it in the natural way with her, it's Kiyashin Darayas, is sleeping by other arayas, where there he's exempt, here also he'd be exempt. Nimtze comes out, Neir Shaloi Kedarka B'Shifcha, if he's awake, but he's doing the unnatural way by the maidservant, is Kiyashin Nechal Arayas, is like sleeping by all other arayas. Which Tosfos wonders what's this lengthy wordiness which the Shita Megubetzes brings in Eischof, is that it's coming to explain that there's a difference over here. There's two different types of categories we're speaking about. By Hara, which are the initial stages, or Shaloi Kedarka in the unnatural way, there, yes, there's a difference between Shivcha Harufa and other rice. By other rice, it can be liable, because Mishkevi Ishid says there's a liability, and Hara, the Gemara elsewhere learns that also is the same thing. But b'shivcha harufa, there's no liability, it has to be able to be shichva zer. But what the Gemara is pointing out over here in this comparisons is saying, but when ena miskaven, for example, let's say he falls from the roof and then he connects into the woman, or when he's sleeping, that we're saying there's no difference between the two of them, because that's an einus. And the einus by both of them, even by other arayas, is also going to be exempt. And we're comparing the case of shivcha harufa to the other arayas, that in those cases will be the same, that he's going to be exempt. Hanulach Arba Mechusar Kapar, which I'll return to the second parak of Masechtas Krisis, parak Arba Mechusar Kapar, which was speaking about primarily this idea about those who are different than the first parak, are liable for karban leschatas, but not because of any sins, but because they're just lacking atonement of purification regarding being able to partake of Kaddishim and related concepts. And that would begin the third parak of Masechtas Krisis, parak Amrulai, which continues the theme of the first parak of the beginning of the Masechta regarding liability for committing a sin of a karban chatas. So Amaloi, they said to him, which he doesn't explain, who is they that said to him. But they said to him, Achal Tachel, you ate these forbidden fats. So Allah says, maybe Chatz has to bring a sin offering. Let's say eight oima achal. Let's say one witness says he ate, ve'eid oima la'achal. Another one witness says he didn't eat. Or Isha meres achal, a woman says he ate, ve'isha meres la'achal, and a woman says he didn't eat. So maybe Hashem Tali. So he doesn't know. One saying yeah, one saying not. He has to bring the Hashem Tali, which is the suspended Hashem, which is in situations of doubt, where he's not sure if he committed a sin or not, he brings that carbon. Let's say Eidamar Achal, one witness says he ate. V'hoim Eloichal, he says, no, I didn't eat. So then part of his exempt. Let's say Shnaim Arma Achal, let's say two witnesses say he ate the forbidden fats. V'hoim Eloichal, he says, I didn't eat. So Remeir Mechayv, Remeir says he's going to be liable. And Amar Meir says, if two witnesses could bring a person to the severe death penalty, where, if let's say they testified that he killed someone, even if he denies it, he'd be liable for death. Isn't a kavochem, for sure they would be able to obligate him for the lesser penalty of bringing a carbon? To which Amar Lehi, the sages disagreed with Remeir and said, no. In this situation, if he wanted to, he could have exempted himself by lying, and he could say, I did it deliberately. And if he did it deliberately, then pater is exempt from a carbon. You don't bring a carbon for eating chalev, it was done deliberately. So therefore, if he denies it, he could exempt himself, and the chum would say that he'd be pater from the carbon. Continues the Mishnah, chalev v'chalev behelev achas. If someone eats fats, and again he eats fats, all in one lapse of awareness, where he never became aware that he was eating something forbidden. So then, when he finds out, in he's only going to be liable for one karma chattas for that sin. But let's say, achal chelev, v'dam, v'pigel, v'noyse, v'helmachas, let's say it's forbidden fats, blood, from a carbon that had a machshav v'psula regarding it, from a carbon that was left over, it's designated time, only one lapse of awareness, then chayv akal achas v'achas, then he'd be liable for each one individually. As the Mishnah says, zechayme b'minim harbe b'minecha, that's a stringency that applies to many different types of species, different types of prohibitions, more than when it's the same type of prohibition. But, says the Mishnah, there's a stringency that applies by when it's the same thing versus when it's many different prohibitions. In the following case, Shem Achal Kechatzi Zayis, if he eats a half an olive size of whatever the prohibited item is, and then again, subsequently, he eats another half of olive size as long as it's in the same lapse of awareness, if it's the same thing, he's liable because since it's in one helam, the two halves connect to be the requisite shear of Kezayis of being liable. But Mishnei Minim Patr, if it's from two different things, let's say it's a half a zayis of chelev, half a zayis of dam, then it's going to be exempt because they don't combine, and in that case, Minim Harbor would be exempt versus Minechad. Now the Gemara says, Kitani, we open up the Mishnah, this parak, by saying, Amru lo yechal techelev. They said to him, you ate fats, the forbidden ones, maybe chatz has to bring karma chatz. So says the Gemara, Amru kama, how much is they said? Havin trei, that would be two people. Now, says the Gemara, B'hu ma amalein, what's he saying back to them? If he's silent and he's not denying what they're saying, so then the inference would come in as follows. Sounds like, okay, only if he's silent in the face of two people saying eat fats, then he'd be liable chatas. But if he's silent in the face of one witness, then he wouldn't be chayv. But look at the middle case of the Mishnah. It said, if one witness says he ate and he says he didn't eat, so says the Mishnah, he's exempt. So the inference is time of the machashle. The reason is because he's denying. Avashasik mechay, but if he was silent, he would be liable. The koshkan train for sure regarding two that he'd be liable. But that contradicts the previous inference, which makes it sound like that he'd only be chayiv if he's silent by two. But if he's silent by one, he'd be potter. And here we see that he'd be chayiv. Eli rather says the Gemara, the kamakashlehu. The case that we're talking about here in the opening case of the Mishnah is when two witnesses says he ate, and he's denying them. He's trying to refute them and say, I didn't eat. And Mani, who's the opening town of our Mishnah? It's Remeiri. The Amma that he says, Hakrosha de Beitrei, Lava Krosha. When the person himself is trying to deny two witnesses' testimony, it's not a valid refutation, like he himself says later in the Mishnah, that if two people come and say that he ate, he's not able to deny them. Avol Rabbanan Pati, right, according to Rabbanan, in this opening case of the Mishnah, then he actually would be exempt. So says the Gemara, but Amai Kamash Malash, then what's the opening case of a Mishnah teaching us? We know that from the later case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says later on, this machleik is when two people say you ate, and he says, I didn't. Why do we need the opening case to say that? The same idea. Says Gemara, how Kamash Malash, this is exactly what the Sefer of the Mishnah is saying. This teaching that we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, that Amru Lo, they said to him, you ate fats, he has to bring a karma chatas. The Mishnah comes to qualify and said, that's not unanimous. Rather, Machleik is Remeir Rabbanan. It's the Machleik is Remeir Rabbanan. Remeir says that if two people come and say that he ate, that he's chayiv, and the Chama say that he's not. And the Sefer is qualifying the Resha. V'hu, the Kramashalu, but the case of the Resha is talking about when he's denying, and it's saying that it's only like Remeir, not like Rabbanan. That's one interpretation. Ikadarmi, that those that say that actually Amru Lo, when the Mishnah says that they said to him, Namichad Karele, that it could even be they means one witness. How do we find they means one witness? There's not. We learn such a fact in the Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. Mishnah says, the Isha Shalach Balam Din Sayam, if a woman that her husband went overseas, Ubo V'Amru Lo, they came and they said to her, Meis Balecha V'Nisis, your husband died and she got remarried. V'Achkach Bo Baila, and then it seems like her husband wasn't dead. Her husband comes back And that means to say she had relations, she got married to another man when she never got divorced from the first husband, and he was never dead. Says the Mishnah, Tetzi Mizemezer, she has to leave the first husband, she has to leave the second husband. Now, says the Gemara, the Kaimalon, the Philip Achat. And we know that that Mishnah that's saying Amrula was talking about that the one who told was even one witness. Mimai, how do we know this? Because Melikatani Sefer. For the fact that the end of the Mishnah over there says, Nisit Shaloi Brishos, if she got married without permission from the courts, then if it turns out that her husband was still alive, Muteris Lachzalai, she's permitted to go back to her husband, to the first husband, when she had got married based on two witnesses' testimony. If two witnesses had said, your husband died, she would be permitted to go back to the first husband because she's what's called an anus. She was beyond her control because two witnesses said to her, and we always believe two witnesses, and the halach is, by Yisrael, if she's an anus, let's say she had relations with another man against her will, she's still permitted to her first husband, this is considered the same thing. Now, my shalei b'shus, what does the Mishnah mean over there when it says that if she got married without permission, then she's permitted to go back to her husband, which is saying different than the case of the Reisha. That means Shaloi Bishos Bezdin. That means without the permission of the court, and as the apprentice says, Ve'eid Echad, meaning rather like the Girsa brings, Ela Be'edim. Meaning rather, if she got married because of witnesses, without the permission of the court, you don't need permission because you have two witnesses saying, which is like fact, then she actually would be permitted to go back to her husband. So Machlal, the Reisha, the inference is that means the first case of the Mishnah, which said that she would have to leave both and even her first husband, obviously means to say that she got married b'shus bez nubeir elbeir echad, with the permission of the court, which is a special dispensation the court gave, with one witness, where she should have been careful very well to check if he really had died. Because this that the rabbis permit her to get married based on one witness' testimony, it's because we're relying really on her that she'll really investigate and then she'll get married. And because we're stringent with her at the end, that she'll have to leave her second husband and the first husband if it turns out he's really alive, so that's why they were leaning with her in the beginning, as the Gemara says, Nivam is the Pichesim et Alf. And that's really why we permitted her to get married based on one witness's testimony. But in this situation, where she herself was not careful, not meticulous, and it turns out that he really wasn't dead, so therefore, Tesim is as the Gemara says in Sleitav Chazayin Mabez, says, Venitma Venitma, when a woman has relations with a different man when her husband is still her husband, says two times. One is that she's forbidden to her original husband and to the man that she had relations with. But one thing, says the Gemara, what we see is Alma Gabi Eid Echad Ketani Amru. Obviously, that means to say the opening case that she has to leave is that she got married when they said, who's they, not two witnesses, is one witness. And it says Amru. So therefore, Vachinami Diktani Amru Lai Sova Tu in our Mishnah, it says, they said to him, Mashma Fale Eid Echad. It's talking about even when one witness says to him, you ate forbidden fats, he would have to bring a Karma Chatzis. So now the Gemara asks, "V'hu my kama?" Okay, so they're telling him means even one witness, and he would be chayev. What's he saying in response? Ilei me dekamakish lei. If he's refuting, he's denying what that one witness is saying. Mi maisi? Would he have to bring a karma chatas? V'katan mitziasa. But the middle case of the Mishnah says, "Eid echad oimer achal." If one witness says he ate, roy maloi chal. He says I didn't eat. Pater, he'd be exempt. So how could you say to him that he's refuting it? El deshasik. No, rather the case of the Mishnah would be talking about when he's silent. Says Gemara, but Mitziyasish Mamina, we already could infer that from the middle case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if one witness says you ate and he says I didn't eat, then he's going to be exempt. Now, time of the Kamakash, the inference obviously is because he's refuting him. Avashasik, Mishnah Chai, but if it would be sound to be Chai, what do you need the opening case for? Says Gemara, yeah, lo'ilm de lo'im makashle. Truth is, the opening case in the Mishnah Tumah when he's not denying it, he's being quiet, and therefore he's Chai, even if one witness is saying that he ate. Vahachikhtani, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. If one witness says you ate forbidden fats, maybe chatas has been karma chatas. Now that we're having the mitziyasa later on, it's coming to say of a medvum amum. When did we say this case, of the opening case of the Mishnah, that he'd be chayv even with one witness, is a shasik if he was silent. But if he did deny, like the case of the middle case of the Mishnah, where one witness says he ate and he says I didn't eat, then Potter, it's qualifying, it's saying that then he would be exempt. It's just qualifying the case of the Reisha, but it's really a continuation of that opening case. Says the Gemara, okay, now, based on the interpretations that we have, so biblically, how do we know that even when by one witness, if he doesn't deny him, that's chayiv, that he would be liable for karma chatas? Says the Gemara, because the Tanakh will in the Braisa. Pasuk says about Yikra, oihoidel of chatasa, or if it becomes known to him, his sin, that he sinned, so then he has to bring his carpet. Now, this that it says, that becomes known to him, sounds like the awareness comes from himself, which is, but not that others notify him. Now, says the Braisa, but you would think that he'd be exempt from a carbon, even if he doesn't refute what they're saying. Tamalema knows, as Pasuk says, Oy hoidei alav, it becomes known to him, however it becomes known to him. If it becomes known to him through others, so then, okay, it's known to him. If he's denying it, then it's not from himself. They're saying and he's saying, then he's not chayiv. But it's saying, but if he's not denying, which the halacha will come to prove, then he would be chayiv even if it's through them telling it to him. Mikal makam in all situations. But says the Gemara, so b'mayiskin, what is the Braisa talking about when we're saying that if others tell him and he's not denying, he'd be chayiv achatas? Ilim betrain, if we're talking about two witnesses are telling him, train ve'imachishin krabai, if there's two people telling him and he's not denying, do we need a pasuk? We always know we go based on the testimony of two witnesses. And he's not even denying. So you don't even have the logics we had in the Mishnah where he could go ahead and say, I could have said that I did b'mezit. Rather, as we continue to have a b'mezit manav, which proves our halacha, ilalav b'chat, must be that the b'raisa is coming to include the case of even one person who's telling him. The k'tani, and it's saying, ki ein machishin mehemen, that if he doesn't deny, that then the one witness is believed. Shema mina, that's the proof for this halacha that we're saying that biblically, even by one witness, especially according to the second interpretation, amrulai, to my one witness, achat v'chelev, if he doesn't deny it, then maybe chatas, he would have to bring a karma chatas.